grant a blessing to all the church.
Amen.
Grant a blessing to the fellow church this morning. And grant a blessing to the fellowship and the word. Lord, in every way we trust in you. We pray that you will build up in every church all the brothers and sisters who love you to be the proper serving ones in your body. We pray they will be built up in the Spirit. They will be built up in their ministries. They will be built up in their service, all unto the building up of the church, your body. We like to consecrate ourselves in a new and fresh way to you this day. We also like to give ourselves to you through these perfecting meetings. O Lord, meet us. Perfect us. Equip us. Oh, and have much grace and mercy upon us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you again for your precious and cleansing blood that affords us the enjoyment of the anointing and your dear and rich presence. Amen. Amen. Okay, I assume that you can all hear me, so I'm going to start. Well, firstly, brothers and sisters, this is definitely a groundbreaking way of meeting, and that is to use the internet to meet with so many saints in so many different localities for a perfecting training. So it is not only a first for Eastern Canada, it may be a first for us in the recovery, quite possibly. Well, let me first say this, brothers and sisters, my heart longs and desires to be with you all in the flesh, that is physically. But due to other obligations, that is not possible. So I ask the brothers if we can conduct these trainings in this kind of an electronic way. The brothers in the different places felt that we can try. And so we're very much experimenting, and let us see how it goes. The problem usually is with technology. So let us since this kind of a format could be a little bit unusual or a little bit awkward, let us all doubly exercise our spirits and not be distracted by the images, by the sound and all of this. Just remain in the Spirit and do our best to have this meeting together. Now, the specific burden for this series of trainings, which will occupy 3 consecutive Saturdays, today's the first one, there'll be 2 others in the subsequent Saturdays coming up. The burden, brothers and sisters, is your service in the church. Your service in the church. So this would be the main theme. As the Lord leads, I probably will restrict my sharing from the book of Romans. And that is the epistle to the Romans. Why? Because probably of all the epistles that Paul wrote, Romans is a special one when it comes to this matter of serving the Lord. When it comes to this matter of our Christian service in the church life. Yes, Paul mentions service, either his own or that of God's children, in other books of the New Testament that he wrote, for sure. But as far as I can tell, probably he mentions this matter more than any other of his writings. So let us make use of this epistle to study this matter. Although our interest is not to have a Bible study, our burden here is to use this word to enlighten us, to illuminate us. I would say to calibrate, to perfect us, all of us, each one of us, so that our service to the Lord in His church would be strengthened, would be improved, would go higher and deeper according to the biblical standard, according to what God wants. Now, let me just say this on the outset, that these messages are not just messages given to you for you to listen to or take down as notes and then forget about it and you come back next week to listen to another message. That is not my burden. My hope is that so many of you, not all the saints in the churches, but so many of you, by virtue of signing up or registering for this training, who has indicated a real heart, a real desire to learn to serve the Lord in His body, would put to practice these things that we're talking about here. First of all, you must take this fellowship to the Lord in much prayer. Even with spending time with the Lord personally. Then I hope that you will also have some time during the week before the next session to come together, maybe in your present service groups, in your area of service, with a few that you are serving the Lord with, in twos and threes, five or six, whatever your situation may be, to digest this word, to fellowship about it. Number three, I probably will try to give you some material to read. Perhaps not right now. I will send them through the brothers in email form or whatever for you to get into. Some reference material of the ministry, some books that pertains to this matter that I find helpful and I believe would be helpful to you. So there will be some further materials for you to get into. And last but not least, that you will begin, not waiting, you will begin to exercise yourself to practice these things. You will begin to do a little bit of evaluation of where you are personally, where your service group is corporately, and maybe in some cases where the whole church is, an evaluation, a calibration. I certainly look to the Lord that after these three training meetings, though brief, there would be a marked improvement, a marked solidifying in the church service where you are. For 3 weeks, we can only do so much. I hope this kind of training will continue on and on until we build up a core of brothers and sisters in every locality who are in the reality and practice of these things, and that core would grow and their call will begin to affect many other saints in the church life. By the building up of the service of the church or the services of the church in this kind of a proper way, the church will be built up. We often talk about building up the body or building up the church life. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I will tell you, the church is built up, obviously, by the saints' experiences of Christ. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. But it cannot stop there. The church is built up not only by your and my personal experiences of the Lord. The church is built up by our ministering those experiences of Christ. In other words, the church is built by our serving Christ to one another, to serve the Lord to one another, to minister this Christ to one another. This is what builds up the church. So what is the simple definition of serving the Lord or our service to the Lord? It is primarily not just to do something, not just to accomplish some church projects, not just to carry out some church work. You see, not just to complete some tasks that the church have assigned to you. These are all practical services. These are all necessary. No doubt about that. And we're going to talk about that as well. But the core, the intrinsic meaning of service, serving the Lord, are not just to do these outward things. It is our ministering Christ to the members of the body while we are doing these things, or by means of our doing these things. You clean the hall. Just to clean the hall is good. But if you clean the meeting hall without ministering Christ, I would say that is short. We can preach the gospel. Gospel preaching is a great service, as we will see. Great service. Especially to preach the gospel, to save the sinners, to shepherd the young. This is a great service to the Lord. But I will tell you, if we just do these things in an outward way, without much ministry of Christ, the ministering of the Lord, then it still falls short. The elders, the leading brothers, they serve. The deacons, the actual meaning of a deacon is a serving one. They serve in many practical things. The book room, book sales, some taking care of the children, am I right? Others take care of food. You know, the first batch of deacons in the church in Jerusalem actually were raised up to take care of the tables, to serve thousands of people food, to minister to their physical necessities. That's a deacon's work. But if we simply or merely do those things without ministering Christ, without serving Christ, then our service to the Lord does not meet up to the standard that is shown to us in the divine revelation. In the Lord's recovery, brothers and sisters, we cannot use the denominations and so forth as our standard. The Bible, the Word of God, must be our standard. May the Lord raise us up in all the localities there in Eastern Canada. May there be a widespread improvement a going up of a number of notches in the church life everywhere by the building up of this kind of God-ordained service. That is the ministry of Christ for the building up of His body. Now, today, I would like to share with you, to start, using the book of Romans to impress upon you, firstly, our status, S-T-A-T-U-S, or even our statuses as a serving one. To serve the Lord, we know whom we serve. That is quite easy. We serve God, right? Here, Paul says, God whom I serve. We serve God. Then, of course, throughout this book in other places, for example, in chapter 14, verse 18, Paul says, we serve Christ. We serve Christ. So it is clear that the object of our service is actually not men initially. We may be ministering Christ to men. We may be helping men. We may be doing a work for men, but the object of our service is always God, always Christ. He alone do we serve. Brothers and sisters, I hope you're all very, very clear. We're all here not to serve something. We're not here even to serve just some human beings. We are here to serve the Lord. We are here as servants of Christ. Each one of us. Each one of us. You must have a deep consciousness within you. Lord, I'm here to serve you. We all must realize that such a serving life is what? Given to us the day we were saved. Every saved child of God has a new life. And that life, among other things, is a life that serves. A life that serves, that longs to serve, that desires to serve, that is inclined to serve. To serve who? It is to serve God. And I would like to take this further, and that is, this service is a ministry. I said just now, in defining our service in the church, it is to minister Christ to the saints, to people, to build up the body. I said that. But now, I would like to say something on this other side. As I'm talking about the object of our service being God and the Lord Himself, that our service, listen to this, our service, actually, our service to Him, our serving God, actually comprises our worship to Him. True service is a worship. When you, brothers and sisters, have this kind of realization, whatever you do, again I say, when you pray, you are serving God. You are ministering to the Lord. And therefore, at that very moment, you are worshiping Him and you are serving Him. Tuesday night when you come together to pray, we come together to serve God in our prayer. And to serve God is to worship God. You will see that this word serve has different meanings. in Romans. One of the meaning is to serve in the way of worship. Romans chapter 1, verse 9, which we just pray, or you just pray read, is has such a word. In chapter, it says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit." If you check the footnotes in your recovery version, that means this service is to serve in the way of worship. I'm not sure that all of you, brothers and sisters, have this kind of realization, that when you're serving, you're actually rendering service to God, or rendering a real worship to God. When you preach the gospel, which is what Paul is talking about here in the gospel of his son, when he was preaching the gospel, Paul considered himself as a priest, worshiping God by gospel preaching. Apparently, he was preaching the gospel to some unbelievers, some sinners. Actually, in his deep sensation, he is now worshiping God. He is serving God. Now, this will add weight, brothers and sisters. This gives weight. This gives gravity to all the things that we do. You say, what? Even when I vacuum the floor, I'm worshiping God. I give you a resounding amen. A strong yes. When you vacuum the floor, sisters, what's the difference between you vacuuming the floor and hiring a janitor to vacuum the floor? I tell you, the real service as you vacuum the floor is to worship God. Is to worship God. So I hope this, by saying this up front, you have a proper view about what service is to the Lord. Now, concerning our statuses as a serving one. In other words, what are we? Who are we when we talk about serving the Lord? Well, the book of Romans unveils to us, firstly, Paul's statuses, what he considered himself to be. Then he reveals to us our statuses, that means the believers' statuses. Of course, if you look at both, you will find they are quite the same. They're the same. We share the same statuses as Paul. Well, you may say, well, I'm not an apostle. Well, that's true. I would not say, in this sense, being an apostle is a status, or being an evangelist, or being a shepherd as a kind of status. I would say this may be called a gift or an office, all right, in the body. So my gift, in chapter 12 of Romans, you'll find many different gifts, and those gifts differ according to the faith, according to the grace given to us. So whether you're an apostle or you're not, I would say that, at least in this morning's speaking and sharing, does not count as a kind of status. Now, I like to tell you, Paul has four main statuses, and actually, we all share that. Number one, and this is the burden this morning, that is the statuses of a serving one. Number one, Paul's status is very clear, beginning right in the first verse of this book. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. The first status of Paul as a serving one is a slave. a slave. In some other translations, the word is rendered servant. But we know there is a big difference between a slave and a servant. The difference is in ownership. The difference is in the matter of right. Whereas a servant could be a hired one, a hireling, someone who is employed. Okay? That as a what? As a servant. Which means this servant has the right to quit. This servant has the right to negotiate the terms of his service. This servant has certain rights. You know, today, even the country give the employees right. What is a slave? The slave has no such things. Big difference. The slave is one who has been purchased, paid for with a price. Therefore, a slave has no rights. A slave doesn't get paid. He may be fed, but he's never paid. A slave does whatever the master says. Listen, even if that means the termination of his life, that is a slave. And that's Paul. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is so sweet. This is so aromatic. This is so strong. This is Paul. Paul does not serve the Lord as just a servant of Christ. He was a bond slave. He has no right. Eventually, his master decided that he should die, Paul. Paul should be martyred. And this slave would have nothing to say but just to do as the master's wished. That was his status. You see, the first thing in this book, he made that very clear. I'm a slave. I'm a bond slave. Number two, Paul's status was one as a priest. As a priest. In chapter 15, Romans, verse 16, there we have that famous verse. Paul says what? Paul says, I am what? An energizing priest. An energizing, or rather a laboring priest of the gospel of God, offering up the Gentiles to God, sanctified in the Holy Spirit. Here, Paul absolutely sees himself as a priest. Now we know this concept of priest comes from the Old Testament, where the tribe of Levi was chosen among the children of Israel to be a priestly tribe. And what these priests did was to dedicate their whole life to do nothing else but to live in the tabernacle or the temple later on, to handle all the things in the temple, to take care of the temple or the tabernacle, to handle, transport, and take care of all the furnishings of this tabernacle, of the tabernacle or the temple, and to conduct all the works, including the slaying of animals, the offering up of the sacrifices, of different kind of offerings. Then further on, they would be those in the outer court, but they would advance to be in the holy place to do what? To lay out to prepare the showbread table, to light the lamps of the lampstand, to add the oil, and to what? To burn the incense at the incense altar. This is what the priests did. And all this they did, they took down also the tabernacle, and when it's ready, they're ready to travel, the children of Israel, they set it up when they camped. They did all these things. That was a type of the priests in the Old Testament. Their primary work, however, was to offer sacrifices and offerings to God in worship to Him. Now, the New Testament priests' work, likewise, is to offer Christ, to offer the Christ that they handle and experience every day. All of the tabernacle, all the things and furnishings in the tabernacle are all types of Christ. Paul, that New Testament priest, handled this Christ. Took care of this Christ. He wore this Christ. These priests wore a very special priestly garment. And if you have studied the Bible, you will know all these priestly garments are all types of Christ. And these priests all ate a very special diet. They don't eat the ordinary food that people ate. They ate a very special diet. And that diet, again, is Christ. Consists of the offerings that are offered, that were offered to God. So these priests, they live Christ, they wore Christ, they ate Christ, they handle Christ. And out of that, they worship Christ, God, and they serve God. That was Paul's full understanding. So Paul says, I am such a priest in the gospel. And all these people that I save, these Gentiles, I offer them as part of Christ, because all saved people become a member of Christ or part of Christ. So to offer up the saved ones to God is a priestly function. He did that in worship to God. So Paul was a priest. Now I just digress a little bit. To confirm this, you have to only to read Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, which says that we are a holy and royal priesthood, a corporate priestly body. So we will see that our status is just like Paul. We are also the New Testament priests today. We are even a priestly body today. Now let's come back to just Paul. So this is his second status as a serving one. Number three, Paul's status as a serving one is a what? Is a deacon. Now, I know you said, I don't find any verse here that says Paul is a deacon. But if you go to, again, Romans chapter 15, and if you study this, and in a couple of places, Paul says, I minister in Jerusalem. Well, verse 25 here, it says, but now I'm going to Jerusalem ministering to the saints. That word ministry means the service serving as a deacon. Now, I said already, to serve. Excuse me. This serving here, or this ministering here, is likened to the service of a deacon. And a deacon is one who primarily, in the church life, carries out a practical service, a service of a practical nature. Paul here is referring to the fact that he was the one who carried with him all the material gifts from the various churches, brought them to Jerusalem, and dispensed it to the needy saints there. There was a kind of famine. There's a kind of impoverished situation at the time in Jerusalem. And Paul represented the churches to bring the gifts, material gifts, to the church in Jerusalem, the saints there. But he was the one doing this deacon's work. And by doing so, he brought in the traffic and fellowship and blending between the churches. That was Paul's third status. He was a deacon in amongst the churches. The last status of Paul is again back in chapter 15, verse 16. Paul says, that I might be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. Now, this word minister is a special word. This does not refer to a deacon's work. This word minister here refers to a public servant. It is the same word as the word in chapter 13, verse 6. If you read Romans chapter 13 and verse 6, you'll find that talking about we need to pay taxes, you know, as good citizens, citizen Christians, we have to pay the tax to whom it is due. And here it talks about we need to fear the people who are in authority, who are God's officers. There's that word, officers. We read it referring to the secular, right? People of the government, representing the secular government. We should do this to be subject to even to the secular authorities. This is a teaching in Romans 13. So Paul says, I am a minister. He meant that he is a sort of a public servant. He is a public servant. Now, he spoke this in the context of the gospel preaching. So when it comes from giving the gospel, serving the gospel to mankind, to people in society, to the community, he is a kind of a public servant. You may say Paul was in public service. You know, today, someone who serves in the government, we call them a public servant. Am I right? Paul considered himself a public servant, to serve not just the saints, but to serve the society at large, to serve his countrymen, to serve even the nations, the Gentiles. Brothers, we have to have this realization. Now, dear saints, we now come to us. What about us? I'd like to impress upon you this morning that we share these statuses as well. every one of us, every one of you who means business with the Lord, to serve God in the church in an acceptable way to God and in a well-pleasing way to Christ, you must have the deep realization all the time. This should be with you wherever you are, that I have, that you have these four statuses as well. Number one, you are a slave of the Lord Jesus. I am a slave of the Lord Jesus. In chapter 6 especially of this book, we find that we were once enslaved to sin. Even our members, you know, our body, fleshly members, when we were not saved, were slaves to unrighteousness. But now, having been saved, having been sanctified, it says that we have now been enslaved to God. We have been enslaved to righteousness. This is in chapter 6. You have to look up those verses towards the end of that chapter. And then in various other places, I especially bring up this verse that you just read, Romans 12:11. Burning in spirit, serving the Lord as a slave. That is the meaning of that word. Serving the Lord as a slave. I like to deeply, deeply impress you, brothers and sisters. You are a slave. I am a slave. You know, I often remind myself when I, you know, in the course of serving the Lord in the churches, I start to complain a little bit. You know what I mean? I start to murmur a little bit. I start to somewhat bargain with the Lord a little bit here and there. I started to have some feeling I want a little freedom, you know, my free ways, my opinion, and so forth. We're all like that. But whenever these sentiments, these feelings are there, I remind myself, man, who are you? What are you? You're not just a hired employee to God. There's no contract agreement here. Man, do you remember, do you know? You have been purchased with a price. You've been bought with a price. That is the precious blood of the Lamb. You are not your own, man. You are the Lord's. You belong to Him. You've been purchased. You have a master here. You have no right to complain, to murmur. You have no right to what? To freely express your opinion. You have no right to freely do what you want. The moment you do this in your service, you have lost your status as a slave. You're still serving, but the spirit of a slave is gone. Recall in Exodus that after 7 years of service, this slave has the right to be free at the time of the Jubilee. He had a right. But the provision was also given to him that if he so choose, he could remain with his master, and the master will bring him to, you know, the doorpost and drill a peg and awl through his ear. And he would say, I love my master. I will not go out free. I love my wife and my children. I would rather stay and such a slave will forever have lost his freedom. No more freedom. Brothers and sisters, are you still free? Do you run around in the church life as a freed slave? You know, United States this year is beginning to celebrate the 150th year of the Civil War. Those who study history knows that the Civil War is primarily about the issue of slavery, which they abolished, or Lincoln abolished, with the Proclamation of Emancipation. 5 years of war. Hundreds of thousands died to free the slaves. Today, brothers and sisters, I'd like to tell you, we need to be brought back to slavery. We're slaves, dear saints. My, when I think about this, the tears would just come down my eyes. The love of the Lord overwhelms me. And I can but offer myself to Him again just because He has every right over me, that I have zero ownership over myself, that God has purchased all my rights. I don't even have the freedom to say a word, brothers and sisters. Much less a freedom to go here and there. You know, there are some saints who serve as a free man. Yeah, they serve. But they serve as a freed man. There's no spirit of slavery there. A slave is one who stands by the master at his beck and call. They don't move unless they're told to. So many of us serve the Lord doing this and that according to our own will, according to our own desires, filled with our own opinions. That's not a slave. That's a free man. That's a hireling. Brothers and sisters, please do remember, you are a slave. And you have no right. I have no right before the Lord. I even have no right in the church. I pray that in every church there would be a spirit of slavery. There would be a prevailing spirit of slave service in every church. And I can guarantee you that church's atmosphere will be a sweet one. Will be a powerful one. Will be a very, very touching one. Every saint behaving like a slave. Every saint serving as a slave. No opinion, no murmuring. You know, at the end of this Romans chapter 16, there's a verse that talks about serving. Service in a negative way. In a negative way. I think Toronto has just left us. I don't know what happened here. But let me continue. Here it talks about those who make divisions. Some of these people who lead people away from by different teachings. It says in verse 18, for such men do not serve our Lord Christ. That word is to serve as a slave. To serve as a slave. These people, they do not serve the Lord Christ. But who? but their own stomach. Their own stomach. Their God is not God. Their God is their own stomach. They serve to please themselves. They serve to meet the need, their own need. These are not slaves of Christ. These are slaves of the self. Brothers and sisters, we are slaves of Christ Jesus in the church life. I hope we would really see this. I hope you would be before the Lord about this. From the elders all the way down to the smallest member, everyone a slave. Paul says, I serve in Ephesus, in Acts, this is in Acts chapter 24. I serve in humility with much tears. When Paul comes to a city, he does not serve like some kind of great ambassador representative. There is that aspect. But Paul's feeling was he was a slave. When you serve someone, brothers and sisters, do you serve from above or do you serve from below? Recall the Lord Jesus in chapter 13 of the Gospel of John, who girded himself like a slave and proceeded to wash the feet of his disciples. Now that is a position of a slave. Here is the God-man, the Lord himself, who would what? Become a slave. In Philippians it says, having the form of man and taking what? Becoming like a slave. Like a slave. Not just a man, but a slave. Oh, I really, really pray. Every church, you know, when people come to your meetings, they will just sense all these are slaves here. Serving the Lord and serving one another and serving mankind. I am not my own. I belong to Jesus. I am not my own. Dear saints, a second status of a serving one of us is a priest, just like Paul. We're all priests. We are privileged priests. We belong all to not just the tribe of Levi, we belong to the line of Melchizedek. We are the heavenly priests. We are a nation of priests. It says we've been redeemed to become a nation of priests. All of us are priests. No exception. There's not one saint, actually, that is not a priest. No wonder, brothers and sisters, after we're saved, we all have spontaneously a natural desire to serve the Lord. Where does that come from? That comes from the priestly life that we received at the time of our regeneration. So, as priests, dear saints, what should we do with this status? Very simple, I'll tell you. We should live the life of a priest. You should live as a priest. We should not live a life as a commoner, as a common man. these 2 days there's this royal wedding, right? This commoner of a lady got married into this dynastic royal family. And from now on, her life is forever changed. He has to live, act, eat, walk, you know, everything as a member of the royal family. Otherwise, she's misrepresenting it. We're not just married in that way into this royal family. By regeneration, we have become the family of God. We have received actually the life of a royalty. We have received the holy life of God. So today, we are a holy priesthood and we are a royal priesthood. And day after day, we should live the royal life of God. And that means we should live in God's kingdom. We should live under God's ruling. We should live as His subjects. The reality of the kingdom life should be in us, should be in our daily life. We should hold Him as the head. We should acknowledge His kingship. We should enthrone Him. You really want to be serve the Lord as a priest? That's how we should live. We should also live as holy priests. That means we should live as those who are separated from the world, sanctified. We're not one of the 12 tribes. We are a selected tribe. We're different from the world. We cannot serve the Lord with one foot in the world and one foot in Him. We cannot serve the Lord with one foot in the flesh and one foot in the spirit. We cannot serve mammon and God at the same time. We have to do one or the other. If we mean business to serve the Lord in the church, brothers and sisters, we have to be sanctified to become a holy priesthood. Then we need to live a life. If we want to serve the Lord really in the church, we have to live a life of a priest. Every day we have to handle Christ. We have to wear Christ, put on Christ. We have to eat Christ, assimilate Christ. We have to offer Christ. When we come to the meetings, when we contact each other, we have to live this way. It's not about what we do, it's about the life you live. You know, a policeman, when he wears the uniform during the day, he acts like a policeman. When he goes home, he takes all those off, he's not a policeman. But we are a priest 24/7. If we do not live a priestly life, we cannot have a priestly service. I really am making a big point here, brothers, because I want to give you a proper view, an elevated vision concerning our service. Every day, we have to contact the Lord. We have to be in fellowship with the Lord. We have to eat Him, drink Him. We have to walk in Him, as Colossians says. We have to be rooted and built up in Him. We have to live Him, Paul says. Then, I tell you, what we work out, what we do, will be priestly, a priestly service. I've seen some elders, and I'm not here picking on elders, but I just use that as an illustration. Some brothers, they just have no life with Christ. They just run around do this and that. And then when it comes down to meet, time to meet, they come together and discuss some church affairs, sign some checks, make some announcements. Let me tell you, apparently they are serving. Actually, they are far off. They are not priests. They're just doing a job. Even faithfully. But they are not serving as a priest. Their songs in the hymnal here on serving the Lord. There's a number of hymns on serving the Lord as a priest. As a priest. By the way, I'd like to recommend to you a number of these hymns in the 900s, starting with 910. 910 all the way to 914. And then there are other parts, other songs you can sing under the church, the general subject of the church, on the priestly life. I recommend these hymns to you. I sang them. Very, very helped by them. What a priestly life is, and what a priestly service is. I must move on because time is running out. At number three, we're all deacons. We're all deacons. The church has many needs, oftentimes with no one filling them. Many of these needs are practical, but someone has to do them. I'm talking about maintaining the hall. I'm talking about many practical matters related to our coming together. The ushering, right? I mentioned book sales. Brothers have to take care of the finances. Many different needs in the church life of a practical nature. We should not despise them. We should not say that's unimportant. Yes, they're outward, they're practical, but they need to be touched with holy hands. They need to be made spiritual. By who? By people who are deacons. Paul spent a lot of time in 1 Timothy to lay down the qualifications for elders or overseers as well as deacons. That's because a deacon is that important. They have to be able to hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. A deacon. It's not just you know how to serve tables. You know how to cook some food. You have to know the truth. You have to hold the mystery of faith. You have to have a certain kind of pattern in your life. In Romans, this deacon is exemplified by one person, a sister. And that is in Romans chapter 16, verse 1, one named Phoebe, whom Paul recommended highly, very, very highly, and said she was a deaconess in the church in Cenchrea. And then Paul proceeded to describe her service. He said that she has been a patroness of many, of myself as well. That word patroness means protectress. It means it's a very, very dignified term referring one to one who sustains, who supplies, who helps. This Phoebe in Cenchrea was doing a lot of practical things, serving the saints, ministering to guests, to visitors, providing hospitality most likely. cooking food, maybe. She was doing a lot of things, practical things. But she did that in the most dignified way, in the most spiritual way, and she was such a deaconess that Paul would recommend. You know, Paul mentioned many, many names. There's no other book. Paul would give greetings to many, name by name. But out of all those names, the first name to be mentioned was that of Phoebe. In the church life, brothers and sisters, we need a lot of Phoebes. We need a lot of male Phoebes and female Phoebes. Blessed is the church that is full of these serving ones. You say, I am not appointed as a deacon. I'm not recognized as a deacon. That's not that important. The important thing is that you serve as one. Young people, I even speak, if there's some young ones among you. I just came back from Honduras, you know, down in Central America. That's my first visit ever to this city called San Pedro Sula, the second largest city in Honduras. Was in a wonderful conference of the blending of the churches. 600-700 people there. And what delighted me the most in the meetings were these young people ushering the saints. Ushering the saints. And many of them are, I believe, high school, maybe some college age. And after the meeting, they were out there sweeping the floor, just cleaning up the hall for the second meeting, done by these young people. I tell you, each one of them is a deacon or a deaconess. They're doing something very practical. But my, when I look at that picture, when I look at that situation, I was so happy, so touched, that even the young ones have such a spirit to serve, to do these practical things. Back in Chifu, you know Chifu, this is in the 30s, Brother Lee was there. A great revival broke out. The gospel was prevailing. And frequently in those gospel meetings, some saint will be talking to a new one on the verge of bringing them to salvation. And there would be these little kids, the children of the saints. You know what their job was? They would run hither and thither to these places with a prayer pad, you know, a pad, a cushion for people to kneel down. In those days, when a person gets saved, they kneel down. They knelt down to pray. So these kids will run around to bring these cushions to the adults to kneel down to pray. They may not have led people to Christ directly. They just did some kind of practical service. Well, let me tell you, that is not a small thing. The practical work of the church augments the spiritual. It complements, it supplements the spiritual work. Just like our body, we have life. But we still need this physical frame to carry this life. We should not be so spiritual to say, we don't need this body. Well, without this body, where are you? Am I right? Where are you? So, brothers and sisters, we are also deacons. I hope none of us would think that my work transcends that. I'm just a spiritual, I just come and prophesy, I just come to pray. I don't bother myself with these kind of outward physical things. Don't say that. in these very practical services, many things are taken care of, and many needs are met. All right, so that's number three. Number four. As long as I'm remembering, let me just insert something here. In terms of our service in worship to God, another place in Romans is chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, where Paul beseeched the believers to present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your most reasonable service. That service there is not the service of a slave. Because Paul here is talking about the act of offering one's own body to the Lord. So in this context, that word service here is service in the way of worship again. In the way of worship. Our consecration is a service, is our worship to God. Okay, that's just an insertion. Now, even though in Romans it does not say directly that we are public servants, in a way Paul was an apostle. He traveled through the nations and through the cities. He was truly a one who served all the citizens of the known world at that time. We may not be that way. But on the other hand, brothers and sisters, we are public servants, especially when it comes to our service to the world. Our service to the world. The church is a heavenly entity that exists in the world today. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. The church is heavenly in resurrection, but the church life today exists in the community, in a city, in a nation where we are. So as we look out the window, as we look at the neighbors, as we look at our city, we must have the feeling that we are a public servant to serve them. Primarily to serve them with the gospel. You know, I'm engaged with Bibles for America, and some of you are engaged with Bibles for Canada, so forth. Within me, I always have a feeling I am serving the public with the best. There are people who do humanitarian work. They go to the soup kitchen, am I right? They go to bring medicine to people, to help people to build houses, to serve people in a humanitarian way. And I respect that. Actually, the Lord Jesus told us that we have to take care of the poor. We should take care of the poor. We should give to the poor. Although that is not our primary work, but that is part of our work as the church in a community. But, dear brothers and sisters, I would say the greatest humanitarian work is a divine one. And that is to bring the word of the truth, the gospel of salvation, to mankind, free of charge, freely, voluntarily, not for profit, not for any kind of base gain. We're here to serve humanity, to serve mankind, to serve our neighbors, to serve our citizens with the gospel of Christ. with the truth in His Word. And as we do that, we are automatically the public servants. The public servants. The Lord says, go and disciple the nations. Such is our commission, brothers, in our localities, in each of our localities, to serve the world with Christ, with the gospel, and with the word of the truth. Now, I think I've already 1 hour and 15 minutes. I think it is enough for me to stop. Do you remember these four statuses of Paul and of us? And some brothers among you may want to take the time to dig up all the verses that I refer to, and you can compile them in a good way for the saints. I don't have an outline, but you have taken some notes. I wish that you can do something in your locality, you brothers and sisters who are in the meetings, to digest these things, to study these things, to pray over these things, and to what? Even put these things into practice. Right away. Oh, Lord, I am a slave. Right away, even your living will be affected. Your attitude in your service will be affected. Oh Lord, I'm a priest. What about my life? Am I living a priestly life? A royal life? A holy life? A life handling Christ? Living Christ? Walking in Christ? You see, right away, your service would what? Will necessitate this kind of living. Would require you to live in a different way. Right? Or am I serving as a deacon? Am I partaking of the church service? If you are not, you should join a service. You should tell the brothers, brothers, I'm available. I want to be a deacon or deaconess. I'm here. I don't want to be standing idle when everyone is working in the vineyard. There's so much need in the church life that is not being filled. Lord, I'm here. Brothers, I'm here. I present myself. Even if there's some practical things I can do. Don't just come to the meeting and enjoy other service. You should be serving. Actually, in a normal situation, every saint should be serving in matters great or small. And right away you will see all the needs of the churches will be taken care of. The problem with many churches is few serve. Many needs unmet. And those who serve gets burned out. Because they do everything. If the burden is spread out to all the brothers and sisters, everyone bears a little. The weight is not that much. That is a healthy church, a healthy sign of the church. So if you're not serving brothers, I would say go to the Lord and go to the brothers. Brothers, what can I do? I like to learn. Now we're gonna talk about our service, how we serve in the coming two meetings. The last thing is, Lord, broaden my heart. Give me a heart of a public servant. Give me a heart for mankind, for my community, for those around, to give them the very best. And that is yourself as the gospel. Your word. Go and give out the Bibles. Go and share this word. Go and visit people. You just don't know, brothers and sisters. This is the best we can do to serve. name. All right, I think I will stop here. I don't know what we should do next. I don't know who even to talk to, brothers. There are so many of you there. Your meeting, I think, ends at 12, am I right? Which is 10 minutes from now or so. How about now I can sign off and you all can sign off from each other and you take the final 10 minutes for some prayer. How about this? Or if the Lord leads, you may have some fellowship one with another and the brothers may have some fellowship with you. Is that okay? Montreal, are you okay?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Halifax, okay?
Wave your hands if you're okay.
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 And Ottawa,
okay.
Sorry, Toronto, we missed the last part of the fellowship. You have to get it from the other people. Or I don't know whether this meeting is taped. David, is it taped?
Yes, it is taped. Yeah. And where's Ottawa there, right? Is Ottawa there?
Yeah. The last few words, the last 5 minutes is quite important. So Toronto or GTA, you missed that part. So I hope you can get that. So I stop here, have some prayer now amongst yourselves, and you should finish in about 10 minutes. Okay? So the Lord be with your spirit. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.